Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a little time to tell you what we've been reading, yo. And if you stick around long enough, maybe a little surprise. Let's go. How's that for an intro, yo?
It was delightful.
I would like to let the record show that the powers of one Rodney Martinez show themselves to still be in working order. Just as we were getting started recording this podcast, he sent us a text. Somehow he always knows when we're about to record.
Wow.
I don't know how he does it. Maybe one day he'll put those powers to good use.
Well, if he ends up listening to the end of this episode, maybe he will hear some excitement, some exciting possibilities for us to, what is the word, capture, utilize, embiggen for his, something. I don't know. That was a horribly circuitous route to say a bunch of nothing.
So, it'll all make sense when we get to the end.
If you've been listening for all 83 plus episodes, then you know that I don't speak good, and that's why you love me.
Yeah, that's why you're here, to hear Drew make noises. We had a pretty hectic week, and this week we decided that we needed to get something out, so this will be just audio only this week, but we do have a little extra just pure comic books to talk about, just the stuff we've been reading. Usually it's kind of a smaller segment on our show, but we decided let's dig in and see what else we can talk about that they'll give you a little more rich content, maybe talk you into reading some of the books that we've been looking at. And then and if you're super cool.
And for once, I actually read some comics. So I can participate in the what you've been reading, That is the entirety of the episode.
Yes. And if you do stick around for a little bit longer, we have some cool announcements to talk about that we think you'll enjoy quite a bit. So why don't we step right into it?
Oh, I was going to say, in case you haven't been able to extrapolate, we are remote today. So normally I feel like me and Alex have a preternatural, I don't think that's the right term. It actually sounds like we're sitting in the same room talking, because we typically are. But in this case, we are speaking over the internets, and that may mean that we talk over each other a bit. I'm sorry about that. But
yeah, we're going to do our best to make this all work and be as organic as possible.
Got to do what you got to do to hit those deadlines.
No joke. I'm trying to guarantee that my MacBook has the priority on my internet connection right now, just so that it doesn't prioritize device MacBook Pro 1 hour. That should do it. Saving changes.
I was going to ask you how to do that, but I don't think that's what people came to this podcast for, so you can tell me that off camera. Yeah. And if you're the sort of person who would love to hear Alex geek out about tech, then have we got a surprise for you later in the show.
Yeah, that'd be funny if that was a thing.
Yeah. I mean,
who knows, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's get right into it then and talk about what we've been reading, yo.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are there at least three type things that you're going to talk about?
I think so.
Yeah. So do you want to alternate?
Sure. Let's start with you so I make sure that I have my three. I'm pretty sure I do. Oh, I know.
If not, it's fine. I just happen to have three different titles. So there's something interesting about this one. I was actually, I have a chamber group called the Thought Form Collective. We play like percussion, electronic music and stuff like that. In many cases, pieces that I've written, but also that the other members of my ensemble have written. And then just friends from the new music community. But one of those guys, we had a rehearsal the other day, and Carson mentioned a comic book to me that I should read.
Oh.
And it's called Soul Plumber. happens to be a DC horror title. It's pretty gritty. So for those faint of heart, this might not be for you, but I read it. I mean, there's only one issue out now. And when Carson was telling me about it, it sounded like it was in stores now, because I don't know that he has an app that he can read on, but he was talking about it. But whenever I get onto DC Universe, there's one issue out. I'm wondering if there's like a simultaneous physical release and digital release happening. Like, because anywhere I look online, it looks like this dropped last week.
Interesting.
And so I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be, I didn't know DC would do something like that where they would release like a physical copy and then throw it to streaming. Yeah.
Or maybe he was reading it digitally and that just didn't come through in our conversation.
Right.
But anyway, at this point, there is one issue on DC Universe. Let me just tell who's in it. I don't have the creative team for everything I've been reading, but this is written by Ben Kissel, Marcus Parks, and Henry Zebrowski. Pencils by John McCree and PJ Holden. Inks by John McCray. Cover by John McCray and Mark Spicer.
Right.
So it's interesting. I mean, it's definitely a horror. I mean, I would say the first book doesn't get too visceral, but I can tell it's going to get there. Let me just give a quick synopsis because it's interesting. And if you want to get on the ground floor, get on DC Universe Infinite right now and you can read it for free. Well, for the price of DC right. Universe Infinite. There's a guy and it opens up with him going through seminary. Like he wanted to be a priest and basically doesn't make it. So he washes out and he becomes just a gas station attendant. And this van pulls in with crosses and all kinds of stuff over it, talking about be a soul plumber. And he follows it, and it gets really interesting because this guy, like, even though he's no longer going to be a priest, he's talking about how he wants to save people and save people's lives and be a hero. So it's really interesting. The art is very, I don't want to say twisted. It's, you know, like Miss Marvel's art was not like what you see in most comics.
A little more stylized for that type of story.
Well, this goes even just a little bit farther than Mrs. Marvel, or Miss Marvel.
Okay.
But it's good. So if that's your sort of thing, just in time for Halloween, I think it's worth checking out if you can handle some, let's say, gritty content.
Right. I might be interested in checking that one out, especially since I have access to it. I haven't read a ton of horror comics.
Me either.
It's not a genre that I've found myself pulled to, immediately. If I think, what kind of book do I want to read? Horror isn't the type that I go to. I'm not, that being said, I'm not inherently adverse to reading something like that. I would check it out and see what it's about. So,
I mean, because I love reading Stephen King.
Yeah, but see, honestly, Tori's a big Stephen King fan too.
I don't walk away from that thinking it's horror most of the time. Yeah, there's some monsters and stuff, but it's never like something about reading it in novel form. Mm-hmm. It's not the same as watching a jump scare flick.
Right.
But anyway, that's pretty cool. And if you happen to be checking this out and you're listening to this and you know specifically more details about Soul Plumber, is it coming out physically right now? Join our Discord and let us know. There's going to be a link in the show notes. So.
Yeah, for sure. My first one, I touched on it a little bit, but I just felt like there's enough going on that I should mention more just because it's such a cool, just a cool story being told. So I'm still reading the Avengers run that Jason Aaron has been doing with his team. I'll go ahead and read the full team. So Jason Aaron's writing, Ed McGuinness is doing pencils, Mark Morales is doing the inks, and David Curiel is doing the colors. I don't know if there's letter credits in here. Let me see if I can open this up in a normal amount of time and actually read the credits. Where are you? There you are. Ah, of course, it's VC's Corey Pettit or Petit. I think it's Pettit. I would say Pettit.
Is there an E on the end? There isn't, right?
There is not.
I would say Pettit.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
Just like if you have a cat, you want to pet it.
Exactly. And we do have cats that we want to pet. So in this run, there's a lot going on. There's kind of, as Jason Aaron, I think, tends to do, he likes to kind of do a little bit of world building and tell about other times and other versions of these characters, even the same character just at a different point in their life. But I think I mentioned this in the last episode or one of our more recent episodes, that you get, like, while we get, you know, these nice new modern Avengers stories, we're also having these kind of flashbacks to the Avengers of old. And when I say that, I think it'd be very easy for people to think, like, oh, like the OG 1960s Avengers. No, I mean like million year BC old. Like, so where Thor, Odin's son, or sorry, Odin, Bor's son, is the one actually leading the Avengers. And there's like different versions of Ghost Rider and a Star Brand Hulk and the first Black Panther and the first master of the mystical arts being Agamotto, like from the Eye of Agamotto. There's just a bunch of really cool stuff. But on top of that, he's tied the story together really in this really cool way to where they were fighting these first celestials that came to Earth, like way before anything else was here. And the modern Avengers are dealing with the fallout of sort of like the like a revenge almost, like some of the Celestials came back to finish what they had started. And basically they're like these I think they're called Dark Celestials or something like that. They're just like, you know, a buffed Celestial as comics tend to do. And they're literally like, were these normal Celestials, which is a funny thing to say out loud, raining from the sky like their corpses and just falling on like the Earth. And, you know, that was like how issue one nice. Started. It's pretty gnarly. And we basically have this massive thing going on that requires the Avengers, who are at the beginning of the story not together. They assemble again, right? Like they have to. This is a big enough thing to where Tony Stark, Thor, and Cap are kind of on the fence. They're like, I mean, is there really anything that we need to do, or can we just kind of do this thing solo right now? Like, it seems to be unnecessary to pull it together when there's not something, and then, of course, in a timely manner. But in addition to the big three, we get Captain Marvel, we get Robbie Reyes as Ghost Rider, which pulls some really interesting stuff. And then something that I, just because Twitter spoils things for me because I take 3 years to read comics, Jennifer Walters' She-Hulk is a part of the Avengers, and I'm pretty sure that that leads to a World War She-Hulk event that I'll be coming upon pretty soon. So it's really cool. After this Celestial thing kind of resolves in the first six issues or so, but I mean, they're still kind of dealing with the fallout of it. Like they start that fallout of that starts getting them into, you know, mishaps with other nations, other countries. They're at odds with America even right now, the Russians, Namor, like it's just super cool. It's very big. It's very, like, just the best kind of comic book flavor for when you want the, I don't want to use the word absurdity, but the grandiose, the Avengers, you know, like the big stuff, not just your street level stuff. They lean into that pretty hard. But yeah, that's when I've been reading. I'm like 36 issues in, something like that. And this is all because I was reading X-Men, and one of the tie-ins was
the
like
rabbit hole.
Yeah. Right, read X-Men or read Avengers number 37. I'm like, well, am I really just gonna go read that single issue? Which remind me after we get through with this little segment here to talk about that very thing, the rabbit hole. I heard something pertaining to that that I think is worth sharing with our listeners. What about you? What you got next?
First of all, I'd like to apologize if anybody heard my motorcycle ride by in the middle of Alex talking about that. Let's just pretend it was Ghost Rider, even though I'm pretty sure the Ghost Rider that you're dealing with is probably riding a horse or something, or a skeletal horse.
He was riding a mammoth back in the day.
Oh, that's right.
Was,
you told me that.
Which was super dope. But the Robbie Reyes, the modern one that's also on the Avengers, is riding in a demon charger. Like the car.
Okay.
And it's pretty awesome. And it probably sounds louder than whatever motorcycle you heard.
Yeah. So for my next comic offering, I read, it's like three or four of these. Mm-hmm. A fan of our podcast and friend of mine, DJ, he's recommended things a few times. Like me and him have talked about Doom Patrol and whatnot. So I decided to finally go and read some, and he's a big fan of the Grant Morrison run of Doom Patrol. So that starts at like 16 or 17 of this run that starts in 1987, I think. And I was just cool. Like, I might as well just go to the beginning. So I haven't made it to the Grant Morrison stuff yet, but it's interesting reading this because this is like second age or third age Doom Patrol type stuff, because it's like it already existed. So I didn't go back to the very beginning. So I keep pulling on this from what I know from the show I've watched. And while there are people who are in both, they're in completely different roles at this point.
Who's on the team that you're reading right now?
So there's somebody called Celsius.
Okay.
Oh. I wish I'd
been reading
Ice Cream Man. I wish I'd been reading the Ice Cream Man comic, because that would have been perfect time. You can't.
We'll pretend that that's him chasing Robbie Reyes and his Charger.
Yeah. Anyway, no. So I'll just say it. It's right there in the first panel.
Right.
I think we're picking up from the previous run where they had been fighting in Jamaica or something like that, and it just says somewhere in the Caribbean. Basically, cool. The whole Doom Patrol dies, and or at least we think so, because Celsius, who I think that's what her name, Arena or Anira or something, I think is her actual name. But I think she was his wife in this story or something. But she's pulling Niles' wheelchair out of the water, saying, oh, God, wow. Niles, you know. And looking on from behind are the robot man, Cliff Steele. We have Rita, who's the Elastigirl, Niles. They're like looking on from the clouds. And,
right.
It just slipped my mind. The Negative Man.
I'm a yeah, dude, I can't fan. Think of anything whenever I, the mic comes on and I forget everything I know, dude. I get it.
Yeah. I keep trying to say Steve Trevor. That's not right. But it's something similar to that. Well, I'm sorry to everyone, specifically
DJ. That's fine. We can figure it out.
But anyway, the reason I can't even remember is they're not even in this story.
Oh, right.
Because theoretically they're all dead. But it opens up and it's like, it feels like the B team or maybe a farther group of Doom Patrol is coming together. We have Celsius. We have this other guy who shoots like Eradicator type beams out of his hands.
Right.
And but Cliff Steele, turns out he wasn't dead. They were able to salvage him and rebuild him in a new body. And his new body actually looks like the one from Doom Patrol. He's not wearing a leather jacket yet. But anyway, they're all just going to try to find Niles because they found, you know, the wheelchair, and they think he might still be alive. But there's all kinds of craziness with this dude called Karki, who has these tentacles that shoot out from his body and like pull things into some sort of demon universe. It's wild. It's
nice.
It's not letting me down for the wildness of Doom Patrol. And I don't even think this is
the dialogue
stuff that
like.
Really
I mean,
gets
is it
there, cause, like,
is it pretty
DJ
tough
said,
to chew on at times, or
and stuff? That's the
are
wild.
You find
stuff.
Yourself able to digest it pretty well.
It's tough. It's tough, but actually, every now and then I get surprised because it's not as bad as a lot of them I've seen. Whenever they go into the thought bubble stuff, it feels more akin to the boxes, and it doesn't feel like literally. There's only been one or two times when somebody's like, "Oh, now with my icicle rays, I will do this and this," you know, and I'm just like, "Okay, yeah." But it's from like 87 is when it started, and it's not. It's not as tough to get through as many comics I've read from even more recent than that. So I got to give it to, I didn't give the team, but Paul Kupperberg is the writer of this. And, you know, there is some tough stuff. But overall, other than the fact that there's just a lot of text on every page, it's been pretty good. Steve Lytle is the penciler. Gary Martin is the inker. And I'm enjoying it so far. I'm like four or five into it. And just trying to chip away to get to the Grant Morrison stuff. I will say the art is wild because this is like back in the one color block days. You know, it's like put some color here, put some color here. And in some cases, it's like they took one pass at it and they're like, oh, we kind of got outside the lines. Who cares? Nobody's going to look very close. But anyway, so I'm finally reading some Doom Patrol in preparation for watching season 3 of Doom Patrol on HBO Max. Thanks for the recommendation, DJ. And what about you, Alex?
Right. I will just say, like, I'm having trouble capturing some of Drew's audio, so I'm assuming that we're getting most of it. He's, like, cutting out here and there. But, again, we are recording remote, and sometimes things happen. So if it seems like we have issues, rest assured we will get through this. The next one that I wanted to talk about, because I'm reading so many of these X-Men books, is I just wanted to pull one that I thought had a really cool premise that might kind of give you just like, excuse me, a little slice of what different types of stories they're actually like presenting in the X-Men universe that Jonathan Hickman and team are putting out. So one in particular that I've been enjoying quite a bit is called X-Force, which if you are familiar with X-Men comics at all, you've heard of the X-Force books before. Basically, a good way to at least describe accurately this newest iteration of those characters, that the X-Force is basically a CIA of the mutant world, which is like one half intelligence branch and then one half like special ops, the people that they send in to do the job. And the primary players in this version of X-Force is Beast, Jean Grey, Sage, doing most of the intelligence half of the branch, and then Wolverine, Kid Omega, and Domino doing the special ops that go in and do all of the dirty work for everybody. So I'll just kind of set up how the initial stuff starts. Basically, there are a team of people who we don't know when we're first, we don't know who they are. They break into Krakoa somehow, like they get past one of the gates. And they get in and out really quick, but one of the crazy things they do, like early on, is they shoot Professor X, which is like a crazy thing, right? Like you know, we start off shooting Professor X and killing him. Now, you would know that if you're reading these X books that the X-Men have figured out how to essentially reincarnate you immediately. So they've essentially, if you're a mutant, you potentially can live forever. Like they have the five is what they call them, that are revitalizing these mutants and pulling their consciousness and everything. It's just they comic book it to where it is you, like you come back, it's you. So we don't lose Professor X right away, but still, this is essentially, they're viewing it almost like, we're gonna get to the bottom of this and decide, like, is this our first like act of war? So they first want to know, like, they're sitting down, like, I think at the Quiet Council, which is like the who's who, are talking about like what's going on, how did this happen? Because they're like discussing what happened. They're like, you know, for all of this to have taken place, literally it had to have gone absolutely perfectly. Like there were so many just impossible things that happened, and somehow, not just one impossible thing, but over and over and over, they were able to infiltrate this. They were able to get through these gates. They were able to get to the professor. The people that were supposed to be in certain places just happened to be gone. They're like, how did this perfectly fall apart? And we fast forward a little bit, and we realize that nobody has seen Domino for a while. And if you don't know who Domino is, Domino has the mutant ability to be extremely lucky. So this is all kind of spoilery. You know, we're in here talking about it. You can read this and get way more detail, though, and I still recommend you do. But we find out that this team that had broken into Krakoa had captured Domino and were literally taking grafts of her skin and implanting it on people, which was giving them her luck, which is how they all got into Krakoa. And there's a pretty, I don't want to quite say intense, but you see Domino in a pretty bad way. Like she's missing some of her skin. She looks like she's been been burned really badly, is kind of what it looks like. And, you know, they have to send in the X-Force to go get her. but also know that they're going into the place where a lot of those people have the luck of Domino. You know, so it's a really cool premise, a really cool concept. Like, what happens if somebody gets a hold of that mutant power and takes advantage of it?
Which is a question I have. How do I get some of that luck?
Some of Domino's skin.
All right. So you're saying there's a chance.
It's on eBay. but anyway, that one's a super cool one. I didn't say the team on that either, I should say. So Benjamin Percy is the writer. Joshua Cassara did the pencils and the inks. Dean White did the colors, and Jordan D. White was the editor. Hold on. I don't like the new Marvel Unlimited. They don't list the letterer in the splash page for each comic. You have to actually open it up and go see. Let's see. Where are we at? Joe Caramagna, sorry. Nice. Did the letters. What you got next, Drew?
Last one is also a DJ recommendation. Animal
Old
Man.
Old DJ.
Have you ever read any Animal Man?
I don't even know if I know who that is.
Yeah, so I would go and get this book I have, but then I would realize we're not doing video for this, so it'd just be for Alex, and I'll show you when you're here tomorrow.
Yeah, show me.
DJ and I were talking about Animal Man for some reason, and I remembered the reason I've always avoided him is because there's this one comic book cover that looks like this blood is coming out of Animal Man and spelling out Animal Man. It was just like, it somehow just like struck me deep, and I was just like, oh, I never want to read any of that. But DJ said it was good. So and there is a Grant Morrison run of Animal Man that started in 88.
Right.
And so I just like, while I was waiting to get started recording this, I was like, let's read one more. So I literally just read this a second ago, and it's really interesting. Like, I like it. Basically, Animal Man can, at least in this incarnation, he can take the special power of any animal that he like can connect with or see or whatever for 30 minutes at a time. I don't know if maybe there's a chance that he will be able to do a little more than that later, but like in the beginning, the very beginning, he's rescuing a cat from a neighbor's tree, and one of the branches breaks, but he has the cat, and as the cat like claws him, he's able to take some of the cat's powers, and he lands like a cat, and everything's fine, you know. But it's funny because this isn't his origin story.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently he's been around for a while. Like his wife knows who he is, his kids know who he is, neighbors appear to know who he is. So it's like he is out. And he has also been, like, he's fought with the Justice League International, I think, and the wife actually made comment, like, it's like the crisis, you know, so he's been involved in one of the big things before, but he's fallen out of it. I think he's a stuntman.
Right.
And his wife is an illustrator, but he's just decided, you know, I think it's time for me to be a superhero again. So this is just about him trying to, like, he has his Animal Man outfit. So he's just putting himself back out there. He wants to become a member of the Justice League International again with Blue Beetle. Oh, and it's funny, you had talked about Mr. Miracle, Blue Beetle, Booster Gold.
Yeah.
I think that there's a panel where he's looking at a Rolling Stone cover that has those three together. And then another guy, and I can't remember what his name is. It might be Element Man. It's somebody like that. So it's just like, it is the red and green and blue and gold or whatever team. So that's from our Mr. Miracle coverage. But yeah, it's just interesting thinking, all right, so we have a hero. The world knows who he is, apparently. At least the neighbors do.
Right.
And his wife's like, there's hundreds of heroes. Why do you need to be one? But they even have like montage sequences of him like training, falling from the sky when his 30 minutes run out and stuff like that. Like this whole thing is set up. Like I could see it being a movie.
Right.
Like with the exact pacing and everything. Because there's also some, the Beast maybe, villain, he's the one who opened the book.
Right.
And it keeps cutting back to him. And you can tell that they're eventually going to be coming head to head. So I'm really excited for this one. This one, even though it's from 88, I haven't had hardly any problem with the dialogue and everything. It feels pretty cool. relatively fresh to me. So yeah, if that sounds interesting, I dig the art. It's very, very simple, but I like it.
Who was the team?
That's just Animal Man. Grant, sorry, I'm going back to it. Grant Morrison, writer. Penciler is Chaz Trug. Inker, Doug Hazelwood. Letterer, John Costanza. Colorist, Tatiana Wood and Karen Berger. Berger? Berger? B-E-R-G-E-R. Not sure how to pronounce that, is the editor. But it's, I like it. It's, I don't know if it's necessarily lighthearted, but it felt lighthearted compared to some of these other ones I've been reading. So
right.
it's on DC Universe Infinite. So check it out if that sounds interesting to you.
Cool. I will say I've been like also listening to the My Marvelous Year and the My Ultimate Year and like trying to decide. I tried in the beginning like to just go through that all and I just can't. I don't have the patience to chew through the steel reinforced wall that is the 60s and 70s and half of the early 80s of comics. There's a few that, you know, are ahead of their time and don't just feel ridiculous, but it is impossible. But I'm trying to find a nice hopping on point in the 80s. I think that's where, you know, we stopped being ridiculous sometimes and started learning how to tell a story. There are obvious exceptions to that, but more or less, it's just, it can be a lot. So I'm trying to find a good spot to step on. So I'm glad you gave me two late 80s references that you didn't feel like you have to drag yourself across the finish line.
And, you know, if I were you, I'd wait before jumping onto Doom Patrol. Let me make it through the early ones, because once Grant Morrison gets on there, he stays there for a long time.
Cool.
And that's what DJ specifically recommended. So maybe I'll be able to tell you if it's worth reading the 17, 18 leading up to his run, or if you just want me to give you a, all right, here's your recap, your 60-second catch-up.
Here's the selects. Cool. I've got one more to talk about that I'm just now starting in. I've only read a handful of issues, but the premise is super cool, so I have less to say about this one. But based on the first couple issues and where I think it's heading, you know, again, based off of just the spoilers of knowing that comics exist and I'm super behind on everything, is Strange Academy. So Strange Academy, where's the team? I'll find the team in a second, is kind of exactly what it sounds like in that Doctor Strange has opened up a school.
I was sitting here wondering, are we talking Adam Strange or what?
Okay. So Doctor Strange has opened up a school for magic for all the new magic wielders. Sorry?
When is this from?
2020.
Okay, so it's new. I was just trying to, since I was just talking about 80s, I didn't know if this was relatively recent or a while back. Okay,
oh, yeah, cool. It's pretty recent. So Scotty Young, where's the splash page at? I know you're in here somewhere. Load. Okay, so Scotty Young's the writer. Humberto Ramos is the artist. Edgar Delgado did the colors, and then VC's Clayton Cowles did the letters. It's super cool. Let me go back to this little splash page, because you get, like, there's some new characters, or, well, at least they're new to me, and I think for sure not all of these have been around because they're just, like, little kids. But we have comics that exist that, like, you know, especially the X-books that spend some time in school, or even some Spider-Man, but it's cool to, like, see them actually working on their craft. You know, like, the X-Men have the Danger Room, and they're actually, like, learning how to defend themselves and all this stuff. But this Strange Academy has, like, the who's who of the magical characters in the Marvel Universe as professors. One thing I'll just read off this list real quick and you'll kind of like, oh, okay. So, obviously Doctor Strange, Brother Voodoo, the Ancient One, the Scarlet Witch, Magic, Hellstrom, and a few others. But there's a notable absence, like at the very beginning, in the first couple issues, Doctor Strange, like, isn't there for a while. And then, like, of course, during, like, the, what's it called? Like, when you go to college for the first time, orientation, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. During orientation, they're, like, getting accustomed to all this, and you're kind of, like, learning these characters. And then suddenly, let me make sure that I'm not misspeaking. Where is it at? I should have studied. Is that it? Is that the panel? Yeah. Okay, I found it. So suddenly during this orientation, they're like talking, and then this big portal like dimension opens up, and Dr. Strange comes flying out of it, fighting this like ancient demon monster thing, and the kids are like immediately thrown into it. You just see Dr. Strange saying, "Who wants to have a little fun on their first day of school?" And then you get all these like nice. Little kid magic wielders showing off some of their powers for the first time, and it's just a fun comic book, honestly, at the beginning. And I know that Doctor Strange has a pretty significant event right now. I won't tell you the title of it because it's pretty spoilery, but if you look hard at all, you'll find it. But I think it's going to lead into that event pretty well, or at least I assume it does. It would be kind of weird if it didn't. And I just wanted to get a little more background on the whole Doctor Strange world, and just honestly the magic side of things, because we're jumping into that even more in the MCU, just to be able to speak more authoritatively on that, I should say.
Nice.
That's it for me.
Well, cool. So I guess we can just jump over. If you've listened this long. Oh, you got something?
I had one more thing. Remember, I wanted to remember myself. I was listening to that My Marvelous Year podcast, and they had like a episode where they're just answering questions, and I felt affected by this in a positive way, or at least it helped me be okay with where I'm at reading comics. This is not as serious as I'm making it sound. Somebody asked, like, how do you actually decide as a new comic book reader or even a seasoned comic book reader where to start reading comics and how to get caught up and what order to read things in and all this stuff? Because if you've tried to read comic books at all, you immediately become aware of just how massive of an undertaking it is to get all this continuity and like just understand everything, especially in a day where a lot of writers kind of assume that they're writing for these seasoned comic book readers who would just have this catalog dictionary reference book in their mind of all of the continuity things that have happened for a given character. So, and the guys talking about it basically were just like, look, the answer is you can't. You can't get caught up how you're wanting to do. What you have to do is to just be okay with like jumping in wherever it's at, like if it's on a number one or a number three, and just starting there so you can stop the bleeding and not get even more far behind. So that has encouraged me to stop ignoring all of the new number ones that come out every single week on Marvel Unlimited that are just 3 months behind, which is a much better place for me to be than four decades behind. And just start reading those comic books. And then in your spare time, once you are caught up reading the stuff that's more modern that you want to read, go back and fill in some of those blanks. Like that, all it's going to do is reinforce those stories that you've already read and just give you a more complete story. But yes, there will be times when somebody winks really hard at the camera referencing a comic book from 20 years ago that you've never even heard of the characters. That, you know, make note of it and then go back later. But like, just don't keep digging yourself further by doing what I've been doing. Like, I read one X-Men book, or I read a bunch of X-Men books, got to a point where it was like, it recommended literally one Avengers book, which I bet money when I get there is going to be pretty insignificant in the grand scheme of Jonathan Hickman X-Men.
Yeah.
But at the worry of me thinking, dang, I don't want to be spoiled. What if that one issue like reveals that all X-Men are Inhumans actually, or something, you know, something ridiculous, which it's not going to. And then you read there and then you hit, you know, I almost did it again. Actually, I did do it again. I started reading Thor issues based on something they talked about with Thor. And, you know, it's easy to just keep, you know, you do that five or six times and suddenly you're in the 70s reading a Power Pack comic or something. I think that didn't come around later. But anyway, don't be afraid to just jump in and like learn these new stories. The goal, hopefully, is, especially if you get in on like a modern number one, if the writer is at least trying to think of everybody that might read this comic, they're going to try to give you at least a little bit of backstory in a couple panels, like just enough so you can keep going and then go back later when you have the spare time and actually catch up. And I think everybody will feel a little less stressed out about being true completionist, because otherwise you're just digging a hole that will be really hard to be dug. And that's my piece. That's my piece.
You just gotta start somewhere. And, yeah, I think I was always worried about being spoiled, but
right,
it's hard whenever you're looking at going back to things that are 5, 10, 15 years old.
Well, even longer now, man.
You've been like spoiled, yeah.
The 60s, you know, where a lot of significance, if weirdly out of place in this time, happened. But anyway, transitioning to now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you're on the Discord, you already know about this, but Alex and I have been trying to figure out different ways to kind of connect with the community. And we finally just were talking the other day and just finally decided, all right, let's do it. Let's launch our Patreon. Whoop, so whoop. We did it and we want to tell you about it.
Hooray.
Because we've been working trying to figure out some stuff for potential ad campaigns and commercials and stuff. But that's just taking a little bit longer. So we thought, well, maybe there's some fans that would like to, you know, support us and maybe get some perks from it. So
yeah,
we just want to talk you through why we're launching a Patreon and the various perks at the various tiers. So
yeah, I think it's important to say that's a good place to start is just why. First off, this is not just us like trying to grab some money from you all. That's not it at all. But I mean, like the realistic, you know, reality of this is, it takes time and money to put out a show of any sort of quality and just present it to you. And it's not only have we not made a dime from it yet, like it's been at a loss. Like we dip into our own pockets. We take time when we could be working on other projects, as Drew and I are both, you know, self-employed. We have our own little small businesses and do all this other stuff. And but we love doing this, not to make it sound at all like we don't. And we'll still be doing this even if we don't get immediate support or backing on a Patreon or whatever. But there are a lot of really cool things that we want to do that it's really hard to justify without some sort of supplement just to pad us just a little bit. And that's where this is all being born out of. So, Drew, why don't you tell them what's coming in those different tiers of the Patreon?
Yeah. Just in case you're curious, I'll go ahead and pop the bubble right now and just tell you we have a couple different tiers, a $2 tier, a $5 tier, a $10 tier if you really like us, and if you're just wild fans, we even tossed in a $20 and a $50 tier. These are all per month prices. If you're not familiar with Patreon, I should have started with that. Mm-hmm. Patreon is just a platform that allows you to directly support creators. I've supported it. Some in the past, you know, it's just like instead of, it's like a subscription. Every month, you're just kind of saying, "I'm going to give a couple bucks to you because I appreciate what you do."
Yeah,
and it's just it's cool, you know. Obviously, the Patreon organization takes a little bit from it, but you know they're taking a whole lot of work on. So, right. But yeah, we have a $2 tier, you know, that for less than the price of a coffee. If you wanted to join at that tier, you could help us out. And if a bunch of people stack that up, then eventually it's really making a dent. So we can talk through the different things that come with each of those tiers. Basically, at the $2 level, it's essentially saying, look, I really appreciate what you're doing, and I want to support you. But we will, whenever you do that, we will also give you a public thanking on the show, like saying thanks and like name you if you'd like to be named. And also, put your name on a little card that goes on the end of every video. So yep. Like the credits essentially for the video. And, you know, you'll obviously be able to reach out through our Discord and ask, you know, give requests and stuff like that.
Yeah. So just, like you know, can do fan requests for like specific issues that you might be interested in us covering.
Yeah. And then if we go to the $5 tier, you get all that. Every tier comes with everything from the previous tier and then some.
Correct.
So the next one will give you a kind of a glimpse. Within Patreon, whenever you are joining things, it kind of gets you a portal to different things. So we can post things on Patreon that only patrons can actually check out. So through there, you might get to see some bonus behind the scenes or digital content. Could be wallpaper things, photos from us setting things up, maybe some music that I wrote for the show at different times.
Yeah, just some extra like walks through our thought process or even like There's a potential for like fully uncut raw episodes or anything like that. I do like the idea, and I think we're kind of working on this in the background right now, but giving you guys some wallpapers like for your digital devices to support us and show, and maybe those might even be like some fun ones, like seasonal, like if Halloween or Christmas themed or, you know, anything like that. Yeah. And then there's another really cool part of this. Drew, tell them about that.
Yeah. At the $10 tier.
Sorry, it's still five, right?
Oh, sorry. Did I say? Yeah. Yes, I meant five. Sorry about that. I misspoke. Right. At the $5 tier, we also, we're always reading other things, and because we don't want to have every episode be an hour and a half long, though they do, they end up that long most of the time. We're interested in maybe doing some Patreon exclusive episodes, the two man variant episodes, where, you know, a couple times a month we will just talk more deeply. You know, it might be from what we've been reading. You know, it might be the Alex and Drew read the new 52 type stuff. You know, you never know. It's just something that we want to go into more detail that only the patrons get to check out.
Right, because we do have to pick and choose, like, every week. Like, there's so much content coming out, especially right now when half the time we're splitting duty on just, like, the MCU or the DC properties or shows that are coming out. So having that opportunity to record those variant episodes will get just a deeper dive into that and have more time for us to talk about the content that we really like with you.
And then we move on to the $10 tier, which has all those that came before, the patron shout out, the behind the scenes bonus digital content stuff, two man variant episodes. And also we want to open to specific people who are joining us at this tier to be able to pick something that we're going to cover once a month for what we're calling our Patreon picks exclusive episode. So once a month, like, you could tell us, hey, man, I really want to know what you think about
Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil.
Yeah. I was trying to think of something ridiculous. Like Biker Mice from Mars.
Right.
Which I do have, by the way. So if you join the $10 Patreon picks and you want to see what I really think about Biker Mice from Mars, I have issues 1, 2, and 3, and I'm ready to cover it.
Yeah. There's another really cool part of this tier that I'm going to steal and let introduce. If you join us at the $10 tier, most of you know that Drew is a full-time composer and arranger. He will compose you a jingle-length superhero theme specifically for you, one of a kind, that we will play at the front end of every single episode as they come out. So if you have a superhero theme or a superpower, we'll like work with you to talk with you and kind of get some ideas, just things you like, and you will have your own superhero theme. I think this is freaking cool, and I don't know any other comic book tier, anything like this, where you can like literally work with somebody to get your own superhero theme song. Yeah.
I will say there is one stipulation. Once we get to the $10, $20, and $50 level, it's not just like once. You have to join the $10 tier and stay it for 5 months continuous.
Right.
To get that, because otherwise it's hard. Plus, that gives me 5 months to kind of start the conversation and start thinking about it.
Right, because we don't want to rush through it. You know, we want it to be awesome.
It's not going
to
be like, I sit down and I'm like, here we go. I'm going to pull up a synthesizer and do this, and there you go. Like, I really want to work hard on it towards you listen to it. It may not be the earworm that Spider-Man is. But I'm going to try. So, yeah, if you join the $10 tier and you stick with it for 5 continuous months, then I'm going to write you one. And that's part of, like, when you join our Discord, we always ask you to introduce yourself and tell us your mundane superpower, you know. So it's kind of like you'll go on there, you'll tell us that so that I can start thinking, maybe we'll workshop some ideas, or if you have an idea like, no, I want to be Nitro Man.
Right. Yeah, we want you to be a part of the process for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, that's at the $10 one.
That's a super cool one. I hope several of you, I mean, I'm not saying I hope you all spend that, but I do hope some people take advantage of that, because I'd be curious to see what you come up with.
And I do plan to write some samples for me, Alex, and Torrance, so that you can hear what that would be. So, and by the way, I mean, there will be a conversation. It's not just going to be like, all right, so you are Nitro Man, here you go. Like, I want to talk and figure out.
There'll be some back and forth.
Yeah, what Are you more of a brass band type guy? Are you an electronic guy? Are you a distorted guitar type of guy? You know,
right.
Or girl, sorry. I shouldn't be presumptuous.
Yeah.
I did say Nitro Man, though. So anyway, so that's the $10 Patreon tier. And so we have two other ones, which would be for, you know, intense fans.
Yeah, these are like if you truly love us and you want to support us here, first off, that's super cool. But there's some cool stuff on this as well. Go ahead, Drew.
So it's this for the $20 tier, same thing. You know, you get everything from before, the theme song, which I guess we'd have to get some some stipulation for exactly when that happens, since the money, but maybe it would be once you reach the same amount, the $50 that we would have gotten from the previous tier.
Right.
But also you will get to be shouted out as a featured patron on all of our future shows. So like that means, you know, if you listen to the end, whenever we're given our credits, like hosted by Alex and Drew, blah, 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 we're also going to say, and one of our featured patrons is Nitro Man, you know, and
because of that point, you're truly helping us do this. Like, you know, you're affecting the quality of this show in a big positive way.
Yeah, making us to where we're able to do more of it. And because of that, if you continue to be a $20 patron for 5 months in a row, kind of like before, we're going to allow you to be a guest on the show. So like,
so
if you've done it for 5 months, you'll kind of get a credit that goes towards you. You know, we'll work out a time, because we're going to have to figure out a time that works for you. If you're going to call in, if you happen to be close enough that you can come to the studio and record, you know, who knows? Yeah, we want you to be a guest on the show. Tell us what you like about it. We'll maybe even talk to you about, like, whatever, you know, who knows? So,
yeah.
But that's like for a big time, you know, you are making what we are able to do so much more effective.
Yeah, for sure. And we have one more tier.
Yeah, we just added this one just because, you know, we thought, why not? So there is a $50 tier, and you get, you know, all the stuff from before, but also, I think, yeah, we just added the one. So, but this is a big one. We have a lot of ideas. Ever since we started our podcast, we've always talked about alternate podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decide to be a $50 patron for 5 months, then we are going to take that and put it into a new spinoff podcast.
Yes.
So we have ideas for superhero-based podcasts, some space ones, maybe Alex's tech review. Alex talks tech.
Yeah,
It'll probably be more in the nerd,
right? More in the topicals type of thing that we're doing. But we do have a lot of really cool ideas. But it, like I said earlier, it is a lot of work just to do a single podcast consistently. And we're coming up on 84, 85 episodes. We'll hit 100 just after the new year, I think.
So if you decided to be a $50 patron for 5 months straight, that gives us the lead time, and you know, and be like, all right. So-and-so is a Nitro Man. He's almost, I keep saying that. Nitro Man is almost, he's been a $50 patron for 4 months now. So
right.
I guess we need to figure this out. You know, it gives us the lead time to think about it.
Actually start making it.
Yeah. So, and that's, you know, if you have other ideas, like I've seen things on Patreon where you see what people want. So who knows? Mm-hmm. We may add more perks to these. We may be forced to revise some of them at some point, but anyway, it's out there. And I meant to look it up to see what our website address was.
Yeah. But while you're looking at that, I just want to say, like, if you decide to back us at any level at all, we realize that some of those, like the top end tiers, that's a lot. Yeah. Like if you're giving that much, then I mean, sheesh, thank you. You're awesome. But seriously, the $2 tier, if we had a handful of those, would go to so much good in this podcast, and we'd appreciate it so much. Like it would just back us and let us know that we're doing something that you enjoy, and that alone is more than enough, you know, for what we're doing. And if you decide that you want to squeak up to the $5 one, where like the benefits I think kind of jump up a little bit, it seems like the $5 and $10 ones might be the sweet spot. It's super cool. We'd be more than happy to do that stuff as well. But we're just super excited to be able to kind of get to this point where we feel that we've got a pretty impressive back catalog of content right now, and we're anxious to put out more if, you know, finances and time allow it, you know. That's just one of the realities of doing something like this. So, but that being said, we just want to thank you for being with us this far. It's just a big deal, and it really matters a lot to us that there's people that care to sit through and listen to us talk about comic books and other nerd things. It's super cool.
I will say that one tier that you may notice, or one perk that wasn't anywhere, because apparently it's a you can't anymore. But I was at one point a member of a Patreon thing because every month I gave him some money and he put my name in a drawing. So we were wanting to do that for like comics, for giveaways. Mm-hmm. But apparently you can't. However, that doesn't mean we can't take this money that we're getting and do more giveaways.
Right.
It's just, so we want to do that. Like once we get some stuff, we want, because we like doing a couple a year if we can. And if we get enough patrons, then maybe we can do many more and you have a better chance of walking away with a trade paperback of something that we're covering. So,
yep.
Anyway, that's just something I wanted to mention.
Yeah, for sure. What else? Anything else in here that we need to talk about? I think we covered most of it pretty well.
Yeah. If you have questions, join our Discord, like I said, and ask us.
Yeah, Discord's still free. You know, we thought about it and we didn't want to put that behind a paywall because we still want to interact with you all.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. There's very little inside the Patreon right now because, again, those are all kind of things that we want to make sure that we are able to do. So if you get in there right away, it's not quite where it needs to be, but we are kind of working behind the scenes to make sure that there's some stuff that's going to be in there soon.
I think we only launched it like 4 days ago. So
right, yeah. Takes time.
Bear with us.
Anything else?
We'll tell you more as we go forward, but
yep.
Yeah. And we'll be back with what you're used to, which is us covering deep dives into comics, probably in our next episode, unless we have something else we need to cover. But we just wanted to get this one out and tell you a little bit about our exciting new frontier.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. Drew, where can they find us on social media?
You can find us on Twitter at Two Man Comic Book with the number two, Instagram and Facebook, Two Man Comic Book Club, also with the number two. Like I said, we would love to connect with you on Discord. Join it. Let us know what your mundane superpower is so that we can maybe start brainstorming ideas for your superhero theme song.
That's so cool.
If you decide to be a $10 tier contributor. Give us a call. Tell us what, have you read any of these comics that we covered today? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 662-MAN-FAN-8. That is a telephone call.
Yes.
The two-man hotline. This one is not on YouTube, but check out our other videos on YouTube. We'd love for you to subscribe and like our stuff and let us know what you're thinking. You know, we put panels and stuff up on there with it and, you know, just another way for people to check it out. And of course, we would love it if you joined our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/two-man-comic-book-club with the number two.
Yep.
Where can they find you, Alex?
You can find me at Alex Wayne Miller on all social media. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman. Drew, your personal accounts?
You can find me at Drew Morris Comp, C-O-M-P, on Twitter, Drew Morris Composer, elsewhere. Go check out my website, drewmorrismusic.com.
Ah, yes. Cool. That's been it. We will see y'all next time. Bye.
See you later.
The Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our guy in the chair is Torrance Watkins. Logos and design work are by Tessa Price. Original theme music and compositions are by Drew Morris.
Just double check. I am, in fact, recording. Are you, in fact, recording?
In fact. It was money on my end. Yeah. Hi, Pumpkin. Are you ready, kids?
Okay.